Our text is this, from verse 66 really. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." This is one of the passages in the Bible I really love. It really speaks to me. It's a wonderful confession of faith, and it asks us the question, if you're going to leave Jesus, where in fact would you go? I've been a minister now for quite a long time, and I've met many people that have come and gone. People with a great deal of enthusiasm, coming to church, and then they've gone. They've even said things to me like, "That was a really challenging sermon and I really want to live like that." But then they've left. At our church in Sutherland, when people do their profession of faith, my church in Sutherland, when people do their profession of faith, I often get them to do a testimony. And some of them are really moving. Wonderful to be part of that. And yet even then, some of them have walked away from God, walked away from the faith. They haven't gone to another church. They've left the Lord. And it creates a real ache in your heart. For some reason, every time I go to Victoria, where I lived for a number of years, from 18 to 26, I always feel sad. It's not just because Dan Andrews was the Premier there, but I just feel sad. Because sometimes I meet up with people that I went to youth group with, and their children brought up in the faith and no longer serving the Lord. And it's not just one or two, it seems quite a few people in that category. People I studied with at the Theological College in Geelong, in my own class, dinner with, I was actually part of the youth club with. They became a minister couple. Left the Lord. It's beyond understanding at times. How do these things happen? And again, it fills you with a great deal of sadness and disappointment. How is it possible? And then, brothers and sisters, that's just people I know, but then I think of what's happening in chapter 6 of John's Gospel. And that's kind of mind-blowing, really. Huge crowds of people have followed Jesus, and he has performed this amazing miracle of feeding 5,000 souls. Maybe there were more. Maybe that's just referring to the men. He's fed them and they're following him. And he knows why they're following him, because they're looking for the next meal. They want another good feed. And then he teaches them. He knows why they're following him. They're after the next feed, but he wants to teach them that he is the bread of life, that they need to believe in him, that they need to follow him. It's not just all about another meal, getting what you want, making life easier. Free meal every day. It's got to be better than having to work to feed yourself and your family. And they found it all very difficult. And so he's got his 12 disciples. Suddenly he's got crowds of people following him. And then we read in our passage today that they, most of them, seems all of them, just turned their back and left. And so, it looks like Jesus is like a shooting star, you know, bright, popular. Maybe if in terms of music, a one-hit wonder. And then, nobody. And he looks around, and he looks at his 12 disciples, one of whom he knows is going to desert him anyway. And he looks at his 12 disciples, the place is empty, and he says, do you want to go as well? Do you want to go away as well? Do you want to leave as well? And then you get the brilliant answer from Simon Peter. What a wonderful answer, Lord. To whom shall we go? And I want that verse, actually, that line to ring in your head today. Many young people have turned away from the Lord and wandered away, but many older people have as well. People have gone to church for 40, 50, 60, 70 years. And I need you to ask this question of yourself. Where would you go? To whom would you go? To whom would you turn if you were going to leave the Lord Jesus Christ? Because you need to answer that question, I believe. If you are a Christian, you would say, to whom would I go? Well, there's nobody worth following. I'm sticking with you, Lord. But if you're doubting, if you find church a bit difficult, if you find following the Lord a bit difficult, people ostracize you at work, you've had disappointments in your life and you blame God for them, you don't like being the only one at work or university who's different, then you really need to ask yourself the question, where would you go? To whom would you turn? Is there someone better than Jesus to follow? Because each of us are like sheep, says the Lord. We'll rather follow one person or we'll follow another person. We'll rather follow something or something else. We all follow. So to whom would you go? Where would you turn if you were going to stop following the Lord Jesus Christ? Peter knows the answer. Lord, to whom would I go? Well, Peter's an interesting character, isn't he? He's been searching out things, really. He's been to John the Baptist. Because earlier in John we read that he was listening to John the Baptist, perhaps a disciple of John the Baptist. He and his brother, Peter and his brother Andrew. And once they were there near the Jordan River, and John was preaching and they were listening to him, and Jesus walks at the back of the crowd. Imagine that. You're the crowd and someone walks through the foyer and out the other side. Don't know if you can go out the other side, but let's pretend. And John turns around and he points and he says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And Andrew turns away and he's curious and he follows and he gets Peter to come along later on. He looks and he turns and he goes. And in Jesus Christ, they find the answer. They find the person that they would like to go to. Now, Peter had lots of people he could follow. So he's got John the Baptist, and somehow John's preaching didn't answer that aching need in his life. Augustine, what did he once say? You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. Peter could have turned elsewhere. John the Baptist preaching wasn't answering that deep need in his heart. It was fiery. It was the preaching of repentance. But it wasn't answering his deep need. He could have turned to the Pharisees. They obeyed the law. They did it very precisely. And at its peak, there was probably 1,100 of them in Palestine. But he couldn't see that as the way forward, just minutely obeying every law to be right with God could only lead to failure. He could have been followed a zealot, been a zealot, you know, sort of a guerrilla fighter against the Romans. He had a bit of a violent streak in him. He once cut off the ear of Malchus, the high priest's servant, with a sword, a knife. He could have been that. He could have done that, but that didn't answer the deep need of his heart as well. And then he met Jesus. And somehow that answered his deepest need. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. So I need you to answer the question, if you weren't following Jesus or won't follow Jesus, where would you go? Who would you turn to? What would you believe? And do any of these alternatives have the words of eternal life? Where would you go? Well, there's plenty of isms to follow, but many of them are disappointing. You could get involved in climate action now, but it could be just plain disappointing. You could do lots of things, follow lots of philosophies, but will they answer the deepest needs in your heart? I always enjoy the words of Charles Colson. He's passed away now. And in his book, How Now Shall We Live, he examines different philosophies. And he kind of asked the question, what are the alternatives to Christianity? What are the alternatives to Jesus? And he talks about Marxism. And he talks about the escalator myth. And in Marxism, it's about, getting better and better till you get perfection. And then Colson writes this, apply Marxism in any country and you get a gulag in the end, You always end up with death. Concentration camps. Others see salvation in sexual liberation. You can live whichever way you like without morals. And the woman behind that, much of that was Margaret Sanger, who is generally remembered as the early champion of birth control. And she wrote this, morality is the root of all evil. And free sexual expression is the path to redemption. Free sexual expression is the path to redemption. So just look at her life. She was married twice, had numerous sexual partners, was depressed, started looking at astrology, numerology. She went to psychics, divorced twice. Her life was a mess. Does that lead to hope, eternal life? The truth is, at the end of that, you have abortion, a lot of sexually transmitted diseases. It's just plain disappointing. Many people look at science today as their means of salvation. Colson just quotes one person, Daniel Quinn, who wrote the book Ishmael. And he wrote this, Daniel Quinn did, the solution to our social problems therefore lies in our own hands. Through the exertion of human intelligence and ingenuity, through our ever-advancing science and technology, we will save ourselves. They all talk, you see, all these groups in salvation terms, redemption, salvation. But I want to ask you, to whom would you go? Who would you follow if it isn't Jesus? And I point to you now, just state the obvious, that all these people you might follow, all these philosophies that you will follow will always lead to death, disappointment, despair. They'll take you down a rutted track and leave you in the bog. Christ, Jesus, is the only one worth following. And what a wonderful answer is here, Lord, to whom
shall we go? I love the word just Lord there. It's like the complete answer. Lord describes who Jesus is, the Son of God, the Holy One of God, the one who's their master, their leader, their Messiah. He wouldn't have to include the rest, but it's worthwhile for us to ask that question, to whom would we go? Lord, to whom would we go? We know. You alone have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. Well, brothers and sisters, would you join Peter in saying those words today? Lord, to whom will we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. We've come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. Would you join Peter in saying those words? There is no alternative, no viable alternative, no alternative at all to following Jesus. Every other philosophy leads to death and eternal death. But following Jesus leads to life and life everlasting. Jesus' words direct us to God. Is the Word become flesh? And His words speak to us of life, life in God's name. His words direct us to God. His death reconciles us to God. His life and death are a testimony to God's love for us and the reconciliation God desires. He is our Lord and our Saviour. So for Peter, there's no going back to the past. There's no alternative. He alone has the words of eternal life. And he wasn't going to let Jesus go. It needs to be confessed, professed by every Christian person or everyone that comes to faith. It has to be professed, declared. You have to know it for yourself. Jesus is unique. There's nobody like him. Every time you read the Bible, you read of Jesus' character, you read of his miracles, you read of his sufferings, you read of his death, you read of his resurrection. And through believing, something mysterious happens and you find life. The Holy Spirit applies those words to your life and you know that he did that for you. He died your death, he lived your life and grants you eternal life. It doesn't take much to see how all this connects to coming to the Lord's Supper, does it? As you come forward and you sit in the pews and you partake of the bread and the wine, you remember, it's a profession of faith in itself, isn't it? You're just professing. I've come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. That you're participating in his death, that he died on the cross for your sins. All the wrath of God came upon him and not on you. He took your death and he rose from the grave and grants you life. And as you come around the table, you remember and you believe and you've made a testimony, you've made a confession that he's the only one worth following. Amen. May I lead you in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can hear from your word, that we've come across this wonderful testimony of Peter, that we've heard the question of Jesus, are you going to leave as well? And we need to ask that question here today. And then even to answer it by coming forward and saying, no, we have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God and participate in this supper, this bread and the wine that just remind us of what you have achieved for us on the cross, life and life eternal. So Lord, as we come forward, very shortly, as we come forward shortly, we do pray, Lord, that you would challenge us and encourage us. For those in this church building today who haven't made that profession of faith for themselves, to say the same words as the Apostle Peter, we pray that they would think about it. What are the alternatives? Jesus isn't just the best of a bad lot. He's the best. He gives life. He gives peace. He gives joy. He gives hope. And he gives an eternal future. And we pray, Lord, that they would think about that. Lord, we're grateful for your word. We're grateful for the challenges it brings. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.